Okay, hello. What I'll try to do is to get across my one main concern, and that is whether open source can, in the technical sense, is sustainable if the open source movement doesn't pay more attention to standards. So I'm... that's my line of argument. Let's see if it doesn't work as I...
Yes,
it works. Okay. So what I'm... My position is that open source is something, in my view, very special because it's because of the way it treats property. But it won't be a revolution unless it uses standards or some other form of coordination. My argument is that at the if you don't have interoperability, then open source will lose. How do you reach interoperability? Two ways. I'm too loud, huh? A bit more distance. It's good. Okay. How do you reach interoperability? You have to have some sort of coordination, which is either by standards or by other means. And I will tell you what a colleague and I have tried to identify the means in open source, which are used at this moment. Because there's also a sort of wonder why it hasn't imploded yet. I'm sorry, I'm trying to get across the urgency, so if I'm saying imploded yet, I hope it'll outlive me, but just to be explicit in my concern. Our chairman already talked about the he talked about TCP/IP, which is a standard and which was the basis for the basis for internet. I've done some research in the transport industry, and there you could see that at the start of the 20th century there were all types of containers, but the real revolution started when in the 1960s the freight containers were standardized and you got intermodal transportation. So that is more or less a sort of an analogy which one could draw. Okay. The background of my interest is in that you have in large government organizations, for example, you can see these systems developing in a piecemeal fashion, and at a certain stage they come fixed. The more which is attached, the less flexible it becomes. So what you at a certain point what you would like is to increase infrastructure flexibility. Okay, and with flexibility, I mean the ease with which a system can adjust to changing circumstances and demands. And what I'm thinking of is whether standards can be used as a conscious policy tool to intervene in these large technical systems, these infrastructure systems, where the standards can be more consciously used to change systems. And you can think of this in a very wide manner. You can think of the sort of trans version from nuclear systems into more sustainable energy systems. You can think very wildly, but this is the type of the perspective, the angle which I choose, standards as a policy tool. Okay, now you have different types of standards. You have standards which are developed by committees, by groups. These are can be either formal, like ISO, or developed by consortia, like the W3C, the World Wide Web Consortium, whom we have represented here, or the IETF, Internet Engineering Task Force. That's something which you could also... Well, it doesn't matter which name. It's not quite formal, but it's also not really a consortium. It's a professional association grouped. That IEEE is a very important standards producer. So there are standards which are made by groups, and there are standards which are actually a sort of result of a large market share. So the Windows, I'm using PowerPoint, there's a big market share, and de facto Windows is a standard. And as a it's not really by choice that I'm using it. It's a sort of... I'm not very good at technology. I don't even want to think of what supports my thoughts. So I don't want to think of the infrastructure. I only want to think of the content. And so I do use de facto standards, especially if the university prescribes it. I'm a bit ashamed, but okay. So you have these two types of standards. Now, if you think of the relation between standards and system flexibility, especially infrastructure flexibility, then the first thought you would have is that standards fix technology. That may be so, but they fix part of the technology, and the adjacent part is freed by fixing certain parts. So TCP/IP protocol is fixed, and what you do above it, it's free. Also, why do I think standards increase system flexibility? They allow you to think of components in complementary and substitutive parts. But the core thing is that they create... They are a rather, or they can be a good means to achieve interoperability, to achieve compatibility. And as I said, the interoperability is the core, I think, of the future of open source systems. Now, why was I interested in open source? Because everything seems to coalesce to work together to make open source is very difficult, very almost to blow it up from the inside. What I listed here are three factors. Everyone has access to the source code, so everybody can change things. It depends on the licenses, but that, for the argument, that's not important. Everybody can contribute to existing projects, and everybody can start a new line of software. So these forks. So there's a sort of what we think is a sort of pressure from the inside to diverge. And on top of that, there's the individual pride in creating new beautiful things and creating your own solutions to things. So if you combine that, you would say it's a miracle that somehow people here have software which is at least in to some degree is compatible. What I did with a colleague of mine, Ruben van Wendel de Joden, because he's into he's very interested in open source communities and knows more about open source than I do. I looked at it from the standards part. What we did was look at what mechanisms keep give some sort of focus. Give some sort of coordination to open source developments. And we found that apart from standardization, because of course there's also some standardization activities in the open source movement, you have the Linux, United Linux thing, for example, we looked at other types of mechanisms which also... which I also recognized, the type of mechanisms I also saw in the area of Java standardization, but my colleague was able to translate it to open source, and I think you might be interested in looking at yourself as a sort of anthropological subject. So I'm going to try and describe with his help how you work, or at least how you coordinate things. Okay, I'm not going into the first one, committee standardization. I'm going to give you examples of the other four in the next slide. Now I think I will explain you what the bandwagon mechanism is. Okay, it's first of all it's part of a market-driven coordination mechanism. The bandwagon mechanism, it means that if there is one big market player who makes a unilateral move, then others join in. And if there's a choice between technologies, then the move of this big player can bring on a sort of bandwagon effect. You can think of it as a snowball. So it's you have choice between different technologies. And I think this you can see if you look at certain websites, the open source websites like FreshMeet and SourceForge. For example, you have a sort of download index, how many people have downloaded a certain type of software, and you also have popularity index, saying more or less the same thing. So this can be a sort of passive way of coordinating which of the different types of software are chosen. So it funnels choice in a certain way. So that's an example of the way the market, in this case you, wait a moment if I can find another one. There are also other things. I think I'm going to mention this one too because it's very essential to standards in the infrastructure business. You may know the notion of network externalities. If one person has a telephone, the telephone is useless. You can't talk to anybody. The more people are attached, the more the network, the higher the network externalities, the value of this network. And that's also the case often in open source with software, with any software development. If more people use it, more people are involved, more people work and react and give feedback, then the value, then the network externalities are higher. So that's also a type of more market-driven coordination. I'm going on. Okay. Wait. Okay, the second one. I'm going to you now. You have an overview of my what I'm going to say. Okay. Now you can also coordinate technical developments by regulatory means. Of course, you have the open source licenses, so it does restrict, in a sense, the way you can use it. You can use software, the way you can add to software, and the way you can distribute software. So you can think of licenses also as a type of regulatory coordination. Let me also say, there was something, okay. Oh, yeah. What I wanted to say is that, of course, certain licenses stimulate convergence more than others. The GPL is, in that sense, more strongly coordinates developments than the BSD, the Berkeley Software Distribution. These are variants of differences. Which might be important, but at least you know the idea behind talking about regulatory arrangements as coordinative mechanisms. Going on to the third one, operational coordination mechanisms. It's a group of mechanisms like, I mean, if you read a book on open software and on open source or on Linux or on how to join a group or whatever, then that's also a way, it's something which structures how you work with the, how you program, how you behave when you're on the line, when you're in the network. So that's also a type of, it structures the way you operate, and what's interesting to me is this concurrent versioning system, because it's a way you allow forks to develop, but within the confines of the system. So if in the end people do not agree with new developments, then they can go back to the earlier system. Or certain forks can also die down. So it's a sort of leaving space for dissent, but keeping the group as a group to. Together, so I think it's a rather clever type of strategy. Then the last coordination mechanism is the coordination by authority. I could talk of Linus Torvalds, but that's a bit crude. More interesting, perhaps, is something like the Debian distribution. We give authority to Debian to select for us, to make a sort of pre-choice. And this, I think this is much more important, for example, than then we can think, because because it's for users such a very a crucial way to focus and to find their way within such a very complex, difficult area. Okay, now if we go back to standards. Standards was the fifth or the first type of coordination mentioned. The four others. Some are very optional. You can use the Debian distribution, or you can't. Or let's say you can. You have to use the license, so that because there's this legal trail which you otherwise will be entering. So there's a difference between the different mechanisms. Some are compelling, and some are rather optional. And if you look at standards, then. One thing that which standards does do is it makes the issue more explicit than these other mechanisms, which have as an effect that they indeed, to a light degree, they coordinate, but it's not their primary purpose. And if you have, let me not make it too long. I think you will need to pay more attention to this explicit need to coordinate action. I'm not saying standards is the only way. I think you have found some very interesting new ways, which are also interesting for standards people. So I think we can introduce some of the open source mechanisms into standardization. But it's the other way around is also very important. I think I should conclude was that if the open source movement doesn't pay more attention to interoperability issues, it may implode. I think the second point is that coordination is needed, if possible, voluntary. So I very much support voluntary standardization, and market standardization is, to me, not voluntary. It should be bottom-up and effective. And effective is also important. If it doesn't work, it's just a pity of your time. Point three is that standards are valuable, that I wanted to do. And now I'm going to treat you as if you're a sort of policy group in the open source. So what I would suggest you do is, first prioritize interoperability. And as part of that, monitor divergence, assess effects on interoperability, design interoperability policy, evaluate compatibility strategies you're using. So what I mean are these coordination mechanisms. And I would end by suggesting use standards both for market coordination and for flexible system design. And that was the way I started. Standards are a means to flexibilize things. Now, in my last sheet, I'm making a bit of a... there's a call for papers for those who like to write. on standards and interoperability and open source, who are interested in trying to write an academic paper. Rishab Ghosh, who's in the parallel session, and I are trying to get together a special issue. And if not, things like case information and everything is very welcome. Thank you for your attention.